Scripture says, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Let's bow our head for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you for letting us be alive and for giving us the health to be able to be here. And Lord, I am grateful for all those that are present, and I'm also mindful of those that would love to be present. And I pray for them today, wherever they are, whatever their situation, that you'd please help them, Lord. That you'd please minister to them as only you can. And Lord, I pray now that you would help me as I try to preach this message. Please give me clarity of thought, liberty of speech. Help me to say exactly what you want said. And Lord, I do pray that you would help all of us to be alert, to be attentive, help our minds to be free of distraction, and help us to be able to focus our attention for the next few minutes on the Word of God. And Lord, help us to be sensitive to your dealings in our lives, and help us, Lord, to make whatever decisions we might need to make. And Lord, we thank you today most of all for our salvation through the shed blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray and ask all these things. Amen. The title for the message this morning is "The Day is at Hand." The day is at hand. And as you can see, I took this title from verse number 12 in our text. In verse number 12, Paul says the night is far spent. In other words, the night is just about over. It is nearing its end. He says the night is far spent. The day is at hand. And the day that Paul is referring to in this verse is what he calls in other places the day of Christ. And it is a reference to the rapture. It's a reference to that day when the Lord Jesus Christ will return for his church. And if you'll look there at verse number 12, you'll notice he says the night is far spent, the day is at hand. He says the day is at hand. And this matches James chapter 5 and verse number 8, where James says the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And this is also why Paul says what he does in the latter part of verse number 11. If you'll look there at verse 11 again, you'll notice in the end of that verse, he says, "For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe." He says, "Now is our salvation." And he's not talking there about the salvation of our souls. That is what took place the moment we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. When we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Bible says, we believed to the saving of our souls. So our souls are saved now and will forever be saved. So he's not talking here about our soul salvation, but the day of our ultimate salvation. The day when the Lord Jesus Christ will return and will save or deliver us from living in this present evil world and give us our brand new glorified bodies and allow us to live with him forever and ever. That's what he's talking about here in this passage. And that, by the way, is a good thing. When he says, "Now is our salvation nearer than when we believe," that's a good thing, amen? It's good that we're closer to that day than we've ever been before. And the fact of the matter is, every day that goes by, we get closer to the day of our ultimate salvation. If Jesus Christ does not come today, then tomorrow I'll be closer to that day than I am right now. And that's how to be all the way up until that day when Jesus Christ comes back. And as I said, that is a good thing. In fact, the Bible teaches us that is the blessed hope of God's children. And that's what you and I should be looking for. That's what we should be longing for. As the Apostle John, we should pray, even so come, Lord Jesus. That should be the desire of every born-again child of God in this world. I've said it before and I'll remind you again today. You don't have a problem in your life right now that the rapture won't take care of. Amen. So it is a good thing. We don't need to see it in a negative light. We don't need to think of it in negative terms. We need to understand it is a good thing that our salvation is nearer now than when we believe. We need to understand that it's a good thing that the day is at hand. But what I want us to look at this morning is what Paul teaches us in this passage about how this fact is to affect our lives as Christians. And keep in mind now, when he's writing, he's not writing to people who are unsaved. He's writing to believers. And what I see here is that Paul teaches that because the day is at hand, because our salvation is nearer than it's ever been before, there are certain things that we should do. This should have effects on our life. And there's three things I want you to look at with me right here in this passage today. First of all, I want you to notice what he says in verse number 11 again. And we're going to back up now and look at the beginning of verse number 11. And I want you to see, first of all, that because the day is at hand, because we're nearer now to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ than we've ever been before, one thing that we should do as God's people is wake up. Wake up. Look at what he says there in verse 11. He says, "And that knowing the time," and that is knowledge that really every Christian ought to have, especially those that have been saved for any amount of time. You and I should not be in the dark. Those of us that have been saved, especially those of us who have been saved for a number of years, we shouldn't be in the dark about what time it is. Amen? We ought to know. We shouldn't have any questions or any doubts or reservations in our mind. We ought to know the time that we're living in. We ought to know from what the Bible says, not what we see on the History Channel, but from what the Bible says, that we are presently, right now, living in the last days, and that we are nearing the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to know that. Now, I'm not saying that we should know the day when he's going to come back, because according to the Bible, according to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, no man knows the day nor the hour. But you and I don't have to wander around in the dark so that that day overtakes us unawares. We ought to realize and understand from the Bible that we are living in the last days, that we are in that time not long before the return of Jesus Christ. And again, we don't need to see that in a negative thing. You and I ought to look at the return of Jesus Christ in a positive manner and see it with anticipation. We ought to be excited, in other words, that we're getting closer to the return of Jesus Christ. There's no reason for us to be sad about it. It ought to do our hearts good. We ought to be inspired, lifted up, encouraged. We ought to be blessed knowing that we're in the last days and getting closer to the return of Jesus Christ. But he says right here, and that knowing the time, you ought to know it. You ought to know it. We wear watches so we'll know the time, right? Y'all got one back there, so I'll know the time. Y'all want to be sure that Brother Keith knows how long he's preaching. You know what God did? He gave us an eternal timepiece. He gave us his word so that we would always know the time. There's no reason for us to be in darkness. We should know where we are, where we're living, what's going on, and what is about to take place. But he goes on to say, in that knowing the time, that now it is high time. And that's an expression that I've heard many times. I've even used that expression, I'm sure you have. We say it is high time that we do something. Paul says that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. And why is this? He goes on to say, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Because the day of our salvation, our ultimate salvation, is nearer than it's ever been. Because the day is at hand, he's saying us saved people need to wake up. He says it is high time that we awake out of sleep. When you study the word sleep in the Bible, you find that it's used in three different ways at least, maybe more, but at least three. It's used in the sense of death. It's used to describe saved people that have already passed on. They're referred to as being asleep in Jesus. That's what the Word of God says. It also is used in the sense of rest, like when you lay down and go to sleep and you rest. It's used in that sense. And then it's used many times by Paul and by other writers as a spiritual condition that saved people can get into. And that's the way he's using the term here in verse number 11. When he says it is high time to awake out of sleep, he's not talking about us waking up from a nap or waking up from a night's rest. He's talking about a spiritual condition that many of God's people were in at the time he wrote this letter to the Christians in Rome. And this same condition is prevalent now in God's people. Many Christians right now are in a spirit of slumber. They're like Eutychus, the man that fell asleep while Paul was preaching. But they're not literally asleep. They're spiritually asleep this morning. They're in that condition. And what he's saying is it's high time to wake up out of that spiritual slumber, to get back active and busy for the Lord. Notice what he says there in verse 11. He says it is high time. When you say it's high time, you mean it is time. If it's ever been time, it's time right now is what you mean when you say it's high time. You mean that there's no more time to waste. We cannot put this thing off any longer. It needs to be done right now. And that's what Paul is saying here. He says it's high time to awake out of sleep. It's time for us to get busy about the things of God, to become active and aware, to quit sleeping on God is the idea. This is something that Paul talks about in other places in the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, Paul says to the church in Ephesus, he says, awake thou that sleepest. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 5, he says that we are all children of light. Those of us that are saved, we're not of the night, we're not of the darkness, and therefore let us not sleep as others do. God's people need to wake up. We need to wake up out of this spirit of slumber that prevails today in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. All across this land, believers are asleep. And if you get to thinking about what it's like when you're asleep, one thing that I think about is how when a person is asleep, they're inactive. Now, they may toss and turn, flip and flop, snore, whatever the case, when they're in the bed. But basically, when a person goes to sleep, they're inactive, right? They're not really doing anything productive, you might say. They're not doing anything but just laying in a bed or, as is the case, the older I get, laying in a recliner, whatever the case might be. But they're really not doing anything. And whenever a Christian gets to the point where they're asleep, where they get to that point where they're not busy about the things of God, then they're just inactive. They're not doing anything productive for God. And I want you to think about it for a moment. Wouldn't you say really that's pretty much the condition for the body of Christ, at least right here in the United States of America? Our churches are filled with Christians that are really not doing anything for God. Just as inactive, just like they're asleep. Not really doing anything Busy about all these other things, but not really busy when it comes to the things of God. I hear people all the time, they tell me all the time now, Brother Keith, I'm just so busy. I just got so much going on. And I suppose that's the truth. We all have a lot to do, don't we? A lot of things. But I tell you what I don't see a lot of, and I'm just being straight and honest with you, I don't see a lot of Christians real busy about the things of God. We are busy. We got a lot of stuff going on, and we're just, we say we got too many irons in the fire. We got all our little cliches and the things that we say to explain how busy we are and talk about all the stuff we got going on in our lives, and we do. But what has happened is we've got to the point where we got so many irons in the fire and so much stuff going on that we have not made any room at all for the things of God. We're busy about all this other stuff, but not busy about what is most important in life. And that's the things of God. A lot of that is due to the fact that we're asleep spiritually. But you know something else I think about is not just how we're inactive, but I think about how when a person is asleep, they're unaware. Don't really know what's going on around them, do they? Now you hear people talk about being a light sleeper and they get woke up easy, and some people say, I'm a deep sleeper and I go to sleep and you could tear the house down around me and I wouldn't know what was going on. Y'all heard people say that before? My wife's accused me of that before, that I sleep hard, you know. Wouldn't know if a tornado hit the house, and I might not. But I'm asleep is what's going on. And while I'm asleep, I'm unaware of what's taking place around me. And I tell you, not only do you see a tremendous amount of inactivity amongst Christians today, but I tell you something else you see amongst saved people today is so many believers that are just absolutely clueless about how things really are. Just unaware of how things really are, unaware of how things are supposed to be, unaware of what God expects out of them, unaware of what God expects from His church when it meets and gets together. Just so in the dark about things. And you know why? They're asleep, that's why. Because of their own unwillingness to read the Bible and stay awake and stay alert. You know what one thing the scriptures referred to as? One thing the scriptures referred to as water. The water of the word. That's Ephesians chapter 5. Let me ask you something. When you get groggy and drowsy and sleepy, what's one thing you can do to wake yourself up? You take a little water, splash it in your face, right? They say that's a good thing. And most of the time, when we get up in the morning, we either go to the shower and turn on the shower and run some water on us, or we'll at least go to the sink and turn on the water and splash some water in our face. You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to wake ourselves up. That's what we're doing. And I'm going to tell you what a lot of saved people in this land need to do. They need to splash the water of the word in their face is what they need to do. They refuse to spend time in the Bible like they need to, and they've just gone to sleep. They need to get back in the water and let that water wake them up so they'll begin to get busy, number one, and then just wake up and realize what is going on in this world around us and understand what God expects out of them. It's unbelievable, unbelievable how clueless so many Christians are. You talk to them, and they just, it's as if they do don't have a clue when it comes to what God expects out of them, what God wants from them, what God wants from His church. They don't know the time. They're unaware of the way things are and how things are progressing, not upward but downward in this world today. It's just unbelievable how unaware so many Christians are. And a lot of that is due to the fact that they're asleep spiritually. It's on you and I, folks. It's on me and you. It's on us to keep ourselves awake or to wake ourselves up. We need to splash the water of the Word of God in our faces. And you know how often you need to do that? You need to do it every day. Every day. Every day, splash that water in your face, because if you don't, if you get laxed and you just go day after day after day, you're going to wind up going to sleep on the Lord. You need to keep splashing that water in your face and not just reading your Bible, but you know what you need to make sure you do as much as you possibly can. You need to be in church at the appointed time so God can splash some water in your face. So you can get that water splashed in your face. One of the great things about good Bible preaching and teaching is it'll help you stay awake spiritually. Evidently, it doesn't work always for keeping people awake literally. Because they'll flat sure go to sleep on you. My mama will go to sleep on you in a heartbeat. She'll do it. Y'all can laugh at that. Y'all all watch her sleep up here. Y'all know. She ain't here, so I can say that today. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Just thought about that. Might have to delete this one. Seriously, it's on us to stay awake. Stay awake. Paul says in verse number 11, it is high time to awake out of sleep. He said it. There's no more time to waste, folks. We're getting close to that day. We're getting close to the return of Jesus Christ, and it is time for us to wake up and get busy about the things of God. The time for sleeping and being inactive is all gone. We need to wake up. Number two, here's something else I see. In light of the fact that the day is at hand, not only do we need to wake up, but I see from what he says in verse 12 and 13 that we need to clean up. Clean up. God's people need to clean up. Verse number 12, he says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. He says, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Darkness, as I've told you before, is used in the Bible oftentimes concerning things that are dirty, things that defile, things that are unclean, that are sinful, that are wicked. That's how the term darkness is used. Like the Bible says, men loved darkness rather than light. That's not talking about men loving it to be nighttime more than they do daytime. That's talking about men loving wicked, sinful, dirty, ungodly things more than they do the light. That's what it's talking about. He says here in this verse, let us cast off the works of darkness. But notice what he goes on to say, and let us put on the armor of light. Light in the Bible is used for that which is clean and pure and holy and godly. You have darkness that represents sin and evil and defilement, light that represents that which is pure and clean and holy. And what does he say there in verse 12? He says, get rid of the darkness and replace it with light. Isn't that what he says? Cast off the works of darkness. If there's something in your life as a Christian that you know would be described by the Lord as darkness, he says, you get rid of that. Amen? Amen. Cast it off. But you don't just get rid of the darkness. You know what you do? You replace the darkness. He says, you cast off the works of darkness and you put on the armor of light. Just getting rid of the darkness is part of it. That's just part of it. What God wants you to do is get rid of that, but replace it with that which is pure and holy and clean and godly. Notice what he says in verse 13. He says, let us walk honestly as in the day, as in the day. Now here's reality. Reality is that there's more wicked stuff and underhanded, dishonest stuff that goes on at night than there is in the daytime. Now that's not to say that people don't do bad things during the day, because we know that we do. Amen. But the fact is, a lot of people wait for it to get dark before they do whatever it is they want to do. And why do they wait for it to get dark? Because they believe that they can get away with it easier. They think the darkness will hide what they're doing, that it'll keep people from finding out. So there's more wicked stuff. More homes get broken into at nighttime than they do during the daytime. More people steal things at night than they do in the daytime. So what is he saying? He says, let us walk honestly as in the day. He says, be like people in the daylight who are more honest than they are at nighttime. And that's generally how it is with people that want to do wrong. They get more involved in that sinful stuff at night than they do during the daytime. So he says, you be like those people during the day. Let us walk honestly. It's amazing to me. I'm amazed that Paul would even have to tell us Christians to walk honestly. That ought to be a given, amen? It ought to be just a given. Our conscience ought to let us know that it's wrong to be dishonest. But my goodness, at the Christian people that will just look you right square dab in the eyes and tell you a big fat bald-faced lie, they'll do it just like that, friend. And not just lie to you to the face, but I'm talking about do dirty, shifty, underhanded things. Not just the lost people, they'll treat other same people that way. It's amazing to me that God's people would be that way. The Bible says that we are to provide things honest in the sight of all men. Let us not lie one to another, the Bible says. We're not to bear false witness, the Bible says. A lot of us saved people, you know what we need to do in light of the fact that Jesus Christ is just around the corner, that his coming is just around the corner? You know what we need? We need to clean up our acts, what we need to do. Get rid of some of that darkness. Put more light into our lives instead of so much darkness. Quit being dishonest people. Tell the truth. Be straight with people. Look at what he goes on to say, verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Notice, not in rioting and drunkenness. A lot of your riots take place at night. People tend to get drunk more often at nighttime than they do. Most people wait till it gets night to go out to the clubs and the bars and to break open the hooch and start drinking. But he says, not in rioting. God's people ought not be involved in rioting. That word has to do with debauchery and wild behavior, just causing chaos. A lot of this stuff you see going on even now. Christians ought not to be involved in that kind of stuff. I am opposed to it. I am against Christians rioting out in the streets against things, okay? I don't believe God intends for his people to do that, walking around defacing and destroying public and private property. And a lot of it nowadays, people do it because they believe the color of their skin will get them off. Yes, sir, I said that. And that's the truth. And it ain't right. And saved people ought not be involved in that kind of stuff. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, friend. We get on our knees and we pray, and it's a spiritual thing. We let God take care of that kind of stuff. We don't need to be getting out in all those riots and doing that kind of crazy mess. You hear about folk that in the name of God blow up abortion clinics and all that kind of mess. That's not right, friend. Saved people don't need to be involved in that kind of stuff. Rioting and drunkenness. Drunkenness. Drunkenness is wrong. Be not drunk with wine is what the Bible says. In fact, the Bible tells you don't even be looking at that wine when it moves itself around in the cup. Don't even be looking at it because of what it can do to you. Drunkenness is wrong. Save people all over, drinking. Just no big deal. You know something I've noticed through these last several years, we're getting more and more of these so-called celebrities that come out and they want to talk about God. And on their programs, they want to talk about God and that sort of thing. And at the same time, be sitting there drinking a beer. And then here, talking about Christians being unaware, Christians will come in church and they'll give testimony about these great celebrities that are testifying for God while they're sitting there sucking down a Budweiser. You talk about being blind as a bat backing in backwards, friend. You cannot drink the cup of devils and the cup of the Lord, the Bible says. You can't do that thing. And you got these celebrities now, all these people that everybody's bragging on being such great Christians. They sit there on their programs, and while they're on their programs, they're drinking beer. But talking about God, and we want to think that those are the people we need to hold up as examples for our children. I'd rather hold up somebody that don't drink as an example for my child. How about that? Drunkenness is sickening. Not in chambering. Boy, there's a good one. You know what chambering is? Chambering is shacking up is what that is. That's folks living together that ain't married. Boy, doesn't that stuff go on a lot? I've actually even heard people tell me we ought to live together for a while before you get married, see if you can put up one another. You are asleep, friend. If you honest to God think that that is how you ought to handle a relationship with somebody, that that's how God wants Christians to act, you are asleep spiritually if you believe that is right. And let me say this to you while I'm on this at the risk of hurting anybody's feelings. I know we got some older people among us here. It's not just young folk that live together. I tell you what I see now and have heard about for years. These people that have gotten up in years, 60, 70 year old, now they living with somebody and they won't get married because they're afraid they'll lose their Social Security. Y'all know what I'm telling you is the truth, don't you? And I don't know what it is. I guess they think that, you know, and I realize you reach a certain point in your age where the rules sort of change for you. Like after you get a certain age, I don't think you have to buy a hunting and fishing license anymore. And there's a certain other perks, you might say, that come to getting to a certain age. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of you that are at that certain age. You know what I mean? Get some of those perks. I hadn't got there yet, but I hope to get there one day. I guess they think because those laws change that the law of marriage changes too. And that suddenly because they're senior citizens now, it's all right for them to shack up with one another without being married. Let me say this to you. The laws of the land may change, but this Bible hadn't changed, friend. And what God says about marriage is still just as true right now as it's ever been. And the rules apply irregardless of what age you are. Chambering is wrong. There's some Christians that need to understand that. I know churches right now that have in their congregations men and women, older people living together, younger people living together, and the church just allows that stuff to go on and acts like it doesn't even exist. Pastor won't say nothing about it. If he does, the deacons and their wives get all mad want to run him off because he, you know, says something. They ought to be allowed to be in there. No, they ought not be allowed to be in there either. And you can get mad with me all you want. I really don't care, okay? I'm going to tell you the truth. If people are shacking up and living together, they do not have a right to be members of a church. And no church should put up with that mess. It doesn't matter if they're both 75 years old. You hear me? It doesn't matter. Get my sign out in a minute. I'm just telling you stuff. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you stuff that most preachers around here are not going to tell you. But it's stuff that needs to be said. It's time for God's people to wake up. And it's time for God's people to clean up their act. To get some of this mess out. Our churches are full of darkness and filth and rot that's killing the working of the Holy Spirit of God now. And it's time to get this stuff out. He says, verse 13, in wantonness. Wantonness is unruly, undisciplined, loose living, and not in strife. I've got to move on through this. Strife is just fussing and arguing and fighting. Envying, that's a resentful jealousy. Not only do you want what somebody has, but you resent them for what they do have. That's what envy is all about. He says, get rid of that stuff. Get rid of it. God's people need to wake up. God's people need to clean up. And I want to say, last of all, in light of the fact that the day is at hand, because Jesus Christ's coming is just around the corner and our salvation is nearer than it's ever been, we need to dress up. We need to dress up. Not only do we need to wake up and clean up, but we need to dress up. Look at what he says in verse 14, last verse of the chapter. He says, but put ye on. Put ye on. Almost like putting on clothes. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does he mean by that? Well, he's obviously not telling them they need to get saved because they're already saved. He's saying to these saved people, you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in a practical sense, what he's saying is that we need to clothe ourselves with the qualities and characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he is how we need to be in this world down here. We need to put him on in our daily living. In our daily lives, we need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In other places in the scripture, this is what Paul says. He says, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. John tells us that if we say we abide in him, we ought to walk even as he walked. Peter tells us that we are to follow his steps, that he has left us an example that we should follow his steps. To put on the Lord Jesus Christ means, practically speaking, that in my life I clothe myself myself with the qualities and characteristics of the Lord Jesus. Or in these terms, I ought to try to be as much like him as I possibly can be. That's what you and I as saved people need to do. Dress up. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it now. We do an awful lot of this, and Paul says that those who compare themselves among themselves are not wise. You know what we got? Most of us, we got the wrong measuring stick. We're comparing ourselves with the wrong person, friend. And that's why some of us think so highly of ourselves. That's why some of us are so self-righteous, why we're so egotistical, and why we look down our noses at all these people around us, because we're comparing ourselves among ourselves. Well, I may not be what I need to be, but I ain't bad as she is. I may not be what I need to be, but I ain't as sorry a husband as that rascal is. You know what I'm talking about? I may not be as spiritual as God wants me to be, but I ain't as carnal as they are. You got the wrong measuring stick. You're not to be comparing yourself by anybody else in this church or anybody else in this world. Compare yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you stack up against him, friend? And what I'm to do as a Christian, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm to give myself a good, thorough examination. And be honest with myself and look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him be the example. And where I'm not like him, you know what I need to do? I need to start making changes to where I'm more like the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. That's putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Where I see how he is and I begin by his grace to be more like him. That's putting on the Lord Jesus. Then look at this and I'm all done. He says, verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Your flesh has certain lusts, certain things it craves. Some of those things in and of themselves are not bad. Our flesh craves food, right? We get hungry, we want food. Well, food in and of itself is not bad. There's things that our flesh wants that's not sinful. But then there's things that our flesh wants that are sinful. And what Paul says here is you don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If you know there's something that your flesh wants that it's not supposed to have, what he's saying is you don't provide an opportunity for your flesh to fulfill that lust. I'm going to give you an illustration, not of something simple, but it illustrates the point. One thing that I like, my son loves them, I love them, I love a big, greasy cheeseburger. Y'all like cheeseburgers? I like a double cheeseburger with mayonnaise and bacon on it. I like that kind of stuff. I know you can't tell that, but I do. I like that kind of stuff. Well, just say I want to go on a diet and I want to lose some weight. Maybe y'all have. I hadn't ever run up on one of them diets that says you can eat all the cheeseburgers you want and still lose weight. I hadn't found that. I'm still looking for it, but I hadn't found it. But say I want to lose some weight. You know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to lay off them cheeseburgers, what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to lay off of them. But this is what I know. My flesh is going to want them, right? My flesh is going to say, go get you a cheeseburger. Go get you a cheeseburger. But if I'm going to lose weight, I got to stay away from them. So if I want to avoid eating what I don't need to eat at that time in my life, I do not need to stop by Cheeburger. Y'all ever been there? Or Five Guys? Whatever place you want to go to makes them. I don't need to go in. What I'm saying to you is I don't need to put myself in that type of environment where I'm making provision for my flesh to get what it wants to get that it doesn't need to have. Y'all following what I'm saying? If you realize you've got some weaknesses in your life, things your flesh wants that it isn't supposed to have, then don't provide opportunity for your flesh to get what it doesn't want to have. That means you're going to have to cut some things out of your life so that you can have victory. And that's part of me being more like Jesus Christ, is getting that stuff out of my life that's displeasing to him and being more godly and holy and clean as he was in his life. Let's bow our head for prayer. I want you to think about it now. The day is at hand. Your salvation is nearer than it's ever been before. Jesus Christ could show up at any time, praise the Lord. If you're asleep, you need to wake up. If you're dirty, you need to clean up. And all of us as saved people need to dress up. We need to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Please, Lord, take the simple message and use it as only you can. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.